traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune. One kid helps pay the rent. One could end up going to prison. One just might be president.
Truth warrior, woke destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Well, welcome into the program. Thanks for being here this morning. Lots happening overnight as the Senate passes the $1.2 trillion omnibus bill. No surprise there. When you have thin margins and you don't have power, you can't do much. And we saw that in the House yesterday. We saw it in the Senate, of course, day after day, vote after vote. And the election is in full swing. I think people are seeing that without large majorities, you don't get much done. Democrats stick together, Republicans don't, and look at where we're at. It's a sad morning. Spending for John Fetterman's favorite podcast, for amazingly crazy things as we try to figure it out. What, you know, the earmarks run into the thousands. I think there's 1,400 earmarks in this bill, and we'll be talking about some of those things as we move along in the program today. We're going to be talking with, because all politics are local, and school choice and school conduct and the availability of inappropriate materials for our children at the sacrifice of proper education for our children will be on the docket when we talk to Adriana Kuhn, who's a candidate for Francis Howell School Board. St. Charles Republican Committee has endorsed her. We'll talk with her at 7:05. And then we're going to have sort of an independent women's forum hour. Why? Because I know many of you out there are gig workers. What do I mean by that? 1099 workers. You're working, you know, you don't get a W-2. You don't get all the benefits. You have to pay your own Social Security. And you just get a check. Guess what? You may be in trouble. Your employer may be in trouble by classifying you as such, and it may be a messy thing. Whether you're employing folks that are gig workers, whether you are a gig worker, some new labor rules that have come down have really flown under the radar with all of the talk about immigration and the economy and law and order and foreign policy. And we'll be talking with an expert from IWF, Jennifer O'Connell. You know, she's a small business owner and an entrepreneur and an independent contractor. And she has a quite a story herself, but then also letting you know about some of the hazards now. Whether you're a grandma who wants to do a little work in a daycare or perhaps want to drive an Uber, things are changing. And the rules are not good because they want us all to be employees. Then they can unionize everyone. And then that turns into, of course, mandates where the unions then give to the Democrat candidates. You see how this works, this corruption, this collusion with big labor and big government. It's all baked in the cake, folks. I mean, it's no doubt about it. And I don't know how we're going to fight it because we keep nominating candidates that don't get elected. But I digress. Gabby Hoffman will join us as well, talking about the EV mandates that came down last week. Well, it wasn't an EV mandate. It was a veiled EV mandate. By 2030 and 2032, Jerome over there is going to be driving a beautiful, sleek, Lamborghini-like electric vehicle, right? Isn't that what you're going to be doing, Jerome? It will only cost you about probably $80,000, you know? Not a big deal.
I'll be surprised if I can afford anything by then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And of course, yesterday, the announcement that Princess Kate has cancer. No surprise to me. I think there was such a cloak of silence and the prolonged hospitalization after the supposed normal abdominal or successful abdominal surgery. I mean, she did an eloquent talk to the British people. And what a great story of about the humanity that exists, even if you're an elite, even if you're a royal, and how maybe this will be a story that brings back some humanity to all of our discussions. And rather than the infighting and the bickering and the biting and the hate and the people realize, wow, you know, cancer affects one in three people. And if it affects someone that you know, if it isn't you, someone you know, it affects you as well. And it's a tragic thing when it happens. Luckily, the majority of cancer patients survive these days, and so we'll hope that it's early, and that the quote preventive chemotherapy, which is not a medical term, I think what they're doing is giving her therapy to mop up any rogue cancer cells that may be floating around, lest she has a recurrence or a metastatic process going on. So, of course, as always, your phone calls are welcome. We love to talk to you. And if you'll give us a call, 314-912-1019, Jerome will pick up the telephone and get you on air, because there's tons going on in our world. I'm getting increasingly worried about what's about this election cycle. I have to tell you, you know, we have retirement among Congress people who disagreed with the impeachment of Mayorkas. Mike Gallagher yesterday, earlier in the week, Ken Buck, he stepped out. Gallagher's not going to step out until April 19th. These are people who disagreed. They're not on the part of the Freedom Caucus. And I think they've had it, you know, and you can say, well, what are they doing quitting? And there goes the majority. Well, their little slim majority is no longer mattering anymore, because you got a handful. You got seven or eight of the obstinate ones. And, I believe everything they believe. We should absolutely cut spending by 20% starting tomorrow. Absolutely. We should cut taxes. We should close the border. We should not fund Ukraine. We should not fund. I mean, you know, where do you? I don't know that I agree lockstep with everything, but I agree with many of their positions. But you have to win elections. You have to have a majority that is substantial. You have to be unified as a party. You have to take play after play after play after play out of the Nancy Pelosi playbook. That is not being done on the Republican side, because you have people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've interviewed Marjorie Taylor Greene. I admire her philosophically. She's right. But with the slim majority in the House and no majority in the Senate, there's very little you can do except shut things down. How's that going to work out for you? History tells us every time you shut things down, maybe MAGA people like it. Maybe we can sit there and somehow make it work when the government shuts down and we're not working for the government. Many of you may be. Many of your relatives may be. Many of your sons and daughters and moms and dads may be. And you don't get a paycheck, and you don't get a paycheck. Man, how long does that work out? And then what does the media do? The reality is, the coalition on the conservative side is a broken, fractured mess right now. And before you start taking hardline positions, you have to have a strong hand. I don't know any other way to cut it. You got to win some elections. We keep nominating unelectable, far MAGA people in non-MAGA districts. Look what happened up in Ron Santos' land. He gets thrown out of the House. And the Democrat, the previous incumbent, wins. You lose a seat. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been thrown out, but, you know, yeah, got to recognize the electorate is not where we are right now. And how are we going to beat that? I think what you do is you do it incrementally. You make some minor changes, you make some bigger changes, you make ever bigger changes, and then it's going to work. I'm frustrated that we have a rogue group of House members who, they talk a good game. They call people rhinos. They vote against anything except the absolute perfectionist, idealistic 1776, 18 enumerated powers, and we lose. Or the government gets shut down, and the media goes crazy. And the people say, those Republicans, look at them, they're in the majority, and they can't get governing done right. Am I wrong? Tell me. 314-912-1019. I don't know. I may be wrong. I guess I'm just enough of a pragmatist that if you look at the landscape, you look at history, you look at anything in your own personal life, I think about it like when I'm trying to make a little repair, maybe a repair on an old transistor radio or a tight, tough to get to spot inside an engine compartment, and you're trying to get that clip back on that rubber vacuum hose way down deep in there behind next to the firewall, and you just can't quite get it. You keep trying. Your fingers won't get it. You keep trying. You keep slipping. You stop doing what isn't working. And you spend a little time and you go get the right tool. You may even have to drive to the hardware store. When you keep doing something the same way and it isn't working out, do you keep doing in your own life the same way and keep watching it not work out? If you're putting the meat on the grill and you keep meaning to get medium rare, but you leave it on too long, maybe at some point you put a thermometer in there. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, tell me where I'm wrong. Oh, we just need to get more. Where's the backbone? Mike Johnson doesn't have a backbone. Mike Johnson is the most conservative, MAGA, Christian nation guy you could ever want. But what happens is, and it was just on a Fox News feed before we went on, I heard a congresswoman from New York. She said, look, what happens is he realizes he doesn't have the votes. He wants to get an amendment through. He talks it over with Schumer. Schumer says, you don't have the votes. And Mike says, yeah, you're right. Got to do what you got to do. I don't know. Every time we shut the government down, it turns out it's carnage for the Republican way. But Randy, that's principle. Well, good. Fine, principle. Well, we're all going to be a bunch of Don Quixotes. We're all going to be fighting windmills, and nothing's going to change. I'm sorry, but I think that's the way it is. And I'm sad to say that I don't see it changing. But maybe, you know, maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Jerome, we are in this time period in conservative coalition circles where the infighting is just like lighting ourselves on fire. And you can't make people who are more moderate, you cannot make them come to the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz side. You just can't do it. So we have now division, and even Republicans now are, you know, they're locked and they've drawn the line. They're digging their heels in. And I don't, you know, God help us. You know, are we gonna lose the White House, the Senate, and the House? Boy, how's that working out for you? And Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz will be out there. They'll be elected, no doubt. You know, what's wrong with you people? You Democrats, you're crazy. They're gonna look like idiots. When you don't have any power, you can't wield it. It's crazy, brother. I'm telling you. You watching this? I mean, what do you think? You're a young guy. You got more testosterone than I do, probably. You ready to fight? We're gonna force old people to go to the polls and vote for the hard right MAGA wearing no compromise candidate? How are we gonna do that?
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed as well lately, is it seems like the left, as it becomes more authoritarian, it becomes a lot more unified on a national scale, whereas with the right, I mean, even from just listening to your show, the thing I appreciate about what's going on with conservatism right now is that we're quick to call out the people that are the rhinos, the people that make the promises they don't fulfill on, or that compromise their integrity, but the issue becomes not enough people are unified the way the left is right now. And that's kind of what I see with the MAGA movement. In principle, I don't think in theory that Make America Great Again on its own is a bad idea, but the people that are diehard MAGA are always diehard MAGA. Whereas and then there are the never Trumpers. And then there's so many subdivisive groups within that there's not the, for better or for worse, there's not the unification that we see on the left. And that's why I think it's holding the conservative movement back right now.
You're right. And you know what? There's a really telling sign. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what it is. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's a bellwether of what's going on. Actually, there's a couple of signs. And boy, you talk about Mr. Cynical. I got a problem with leadership at the highest levels. The people pulling the strings, the people making the determinations of who gets the money, where does the money go, how's it spent when donors donate. it's souring me on the whole notion. And I know many of you out there going, Randy, without the money, we can't do it. Well, we'll talk about a couple of things when we come back on the Tobler Show. There's some other things. We've got some clips of the week. I've got a new hero. His name's Tony. And his last name's Bobolinski. We'll be talking about him as well through the show. And then, of course, a local school board candidate, Adriana Kuhn, up at Francis Howell, running for school board. And gig worker talk and EV talk. So we have a lot coming up on the program. And, of course, you're welcome into the program as well all the time. 314-912-1019. Don't forget, Virginia Cruda joins us from the Daily Wire every week. Always a highlight at 745, too. We'll be right back with more of the Tobler Show on a crisp and chilly wintry Saturday morning. We'll be back.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
Well, yesterday, the House passed a $1.2 trillion omnibus bill. And, a minibus bill, because Speaker Johnson broke the spending appropriations bills, several departments, just a couple of weeks ago, and into two bills, one a couple of weeks ago, and then this one. And this defers any discussion of budget problems until actually September, before the election. The budget's supposed to happen in October. These things are supposed to be done a long time ago. They continue to do continuing resolutions. Then they let it go down to the wire. And then under the threat of shutting the government down, people pack it with pork. We see it over and over. I mean, we need to really, as citizens, educate our fellow citizens about what proper representative government is, what a republic of 50 sovereign, semi-sovereign states means, the limited powers of a central government, and go back to those basic principles. And until we do, and until we elect enough people who get that and convince their colleagues that that's the way to govern, not a lot's going to change. Marjorie Taylor Greene threw a fit yesterday in the wake of this, and just like Matt Gaetz threw out and the famous Rogue Eight threw McCarthy out, a guy who had raised $460 million and had built in successive elections a gradually built a House majority. Not that he didn't have his faults. They threw him out because he couldn't get the job done with a minimal majority and a Democrat Senate and a Democrat president. Mike Johnson, let's pick him. And they now are ready to throw him under the bus. Marjorie Taylor Greene, here she is.
I filed the motion to vacate today, but it's more of a warning and a pink slip. I respect our conference. I paid all my dues to my conference. I'm a member in good standing, and I do not wish to inflict pain on our conference and to throw the house in chaos. But this is basically a warning, and it's time for us to go through the process, take our time, and find a new Speaker of the House that will stand with Republicans and our Republican majority instead of standing with the Democrats.
Yeah, Marjorie, I believe it's time. It's just time to really have consequential MAGA only, everyone else is a rhino government takeover. Our Republican caucus. I'm ready for Marjorie Taylor Greene to be the Speaker of the House and for Matt Gaetz to be the majority leader. I want the eight to be the. That's what I want to have happen. And I want to see how that works out for them. Do the thought experiment. I don't think that works out very well. I don't know. We haven't done it. I think we do it. I mean, Matt Gaetz. Now, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene actually voted against the McCarthy ouster, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong. But she's in that group of the rogues who say, however, 210, give or take, other Republicans just can't get it right. They just don't understand. They can't get it right. You know what? There may be a certain truth to that, that if they were on the Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is what's so crazy about this. Have you ever been in a group of people talking about, name the topic, talking about your brackets, talking about, who's going to win the March Madness, maybe talking about Who's your favorite artist? And you know, in your mind, you know, there's no, in my mind, Jerome, there is undoubtedly, I don't know how anyone else can say anything but that Frank Sinatra was the greatest vocalist, stylist, musician that ever grabbed a microphone and sang a song. Many people, from Rod Stewart to many, Lady Gaga, say a lot about Frank Sinatra. But there's, you know what, I had a friend of mine in the music business who thought Tony Bennett was that guy. And we'd sit around, and you know what? I couldn't convince him otherwise. But we didn't get into fights over it. And I didn't call him a bad person because he liked Tony Bennett. And there's people that like Jay-Z and like whatever, Beyonce and Bouncy and whatever. I don't know who they are, you know. That's fine. Taylor Swift, greatest. Okay, you know, I recognize. So she's got some kind of magic that people love. Great. You know, not my cup of tea. But I don't call other people idiots, morons, because they disagree with what I think. I think they're sadly mistaken if they don't recognize the beautiful, melodic, and nuanced style that is Frank Sinatra. Okay, but you see where I'm going with this. I agree. Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of the Gates Eight. You know, if you guys can convince your friends that they should come your way, God bless you. God love you. But until you can, is it helpful to watch the Republican / conservative movement go down in flames because you demonize them, you degrade them, MSNBC picks up on it? We're going to be looking at Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. How's that going to work for you, MTG? You know, I just crazy. Well, and now you may know that today is the anniversary of a very important, historically disruptive, and frankly, one of the worst bills that ever hit the American congressional floor and the president's desk. Today is the 14th anniversary of the passage of Obamanation Care. It is an abomination. And the beauty of that in terms of learning about wielding power was that the Democrats wielded power. First of all, they had power. They had just shy of supermajorities. They were able to, with a little arm twisting with one or two members of the House and one or two members of the Senate, they were able to get this done. Why? Because they worked hard to win elections. Not to get in front of Fox News and write books that we all buy and get us to rallies and we wear our MAGA hats and we go, you go, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Carrie Lake. God. And I've interviewed these people. I admire their philosophy. I admire their goals. But as Austin Powers once famously said, I'd like to have a gold toilet seat, baby, but that's not going to happen. You know? There's a lot of things we'd like. You have to be savvier. You have to win elections. So we have a caller on the line. Let's take the caller. And then I'm going to go back to the Obamacare thing because this is really critical. It's one of the worst bills ever to hit the floor and to be passed in American history. You know it. If you've got employer-sponsored insurance now, with rare exception, you know how silly it is. You pay, you know, your employer's paying outrageous amounts of premiums to three megalopolis companies that basically got in bed with the government and said, look, if you make them buy our product, wink, 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 yeah, we'll waive the pre-existing condition. We'll take care of that. You know what happened? Everyone jumped on. The exchanges went crazy. The premiums are high. We're ending up subsidizing those to the big companies making billions and billions and tens of billions of profit. You can't get in to see a doctor because the doctors are getting paid Medicare wages, which doesn't even pay for their staff because they need the staff because of all the bureaucracy. It is the biggest fleecing of you and the American people that ever came. But it was a good demonstration of what wielding power means in D.C., and the Republicans haven't learned that very well. All right, let's take the caller. Go ahead, caller. Welcome to the Tobler Show.
Good morning, Randy. It's Gene. How
are you? Hey, Gene, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm good. I told Jerome I was going to try to save my silver bullet one phone call loud for later on because there's always so many things to talk about. But when MGT did that yesterday, hold on. sorry, Hmong. When she did that yesterday, I thought the same thing. It's like, oh my goodness, she can do some good stuff, but boy, I wish Trump or somebody would put an arm around that woman's shoulder and teach her some things about strategy. I agree with what you were saying. I mean, that's analogous. What she's doing is analogous to having five people go up with Daisy BB guns on a phalanx of Gatling guns. It's like you don't have the oomph and the horsepower to wield the power. Hold your powder. Let's get what we can and move forward. And she's just not getting that. And I agree with you. I hope she doesn't, pardon the expression, F things up.
Well, you know, Gene, I think that Mike Johnson's a brilliant guy. He's dealt a pair of deuces. No, worse, one deuce. He doesn't have a hand to play with. Because technically, he's nominally leading a majority caucus, but not functionally, because he's got a handful of people. Mark Alford's one of them. I talk to him regularly in our Columbia station. He voted no. Ann Wagner, I think, voted no, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Cori Bush voted no. Okay. But he doesn't have a functional majority. And I think what he's doing here, and I hope, God, do I hope, that Republicans, grassroots Republicans, take the list, which will be forthcoming. We're going to go over some of the ridiculous spending in this bill and some of the measures that didn't make it into the bill, the amendments that weren't allowed or didn't get on the floor because it's fruitless. I mean, those things never get out. They only get out the amendment to, you know, to defund the defunding of the Paris Accord. These things. What we need to, I think he's strategizing this. Look, we can't win the vote, even if we held the line and somehow passed a more restrained bill in the House. Not going to pass the Senate. Just not going to pass. I think he's preparing the seedbed if the Republican National Committee and local and state campaigns have any more money left after they fund Trump's defense. But to say, hey, look, now you guys have the information. Here's what was in the bill. Here's why, when we don't have enough Republicans to actually make a statement politically, to make a policy statement that passes, because we don't have enough majority in the House and we don't have a majority in the Senate, this is what happens. But now here's your, I've loaded the gun for you for your campaign ads, and go get them now in this election cycle. I think that's the only thing that he can hope, you know, because there's preposterous stuff in this bill. And now it's up to us to, at our cocktail parties, at the kids' baseball games, as you're walking, standing in line at the turnstiles at the stadium when you go to watch the Cardinals, we have to start saying, can you believe that those Democrats forced the Republic, because they, you know, we don't elect enough Republicans. Are you voting Republican or Democrat? Forget about individual names. Who are you voting for? Because until we have enough Republicans, we're going to keep having, you know, a transition programs in Massachusetts, podcasts in Pennsylvania. We're going to keep funding garbage like that. Maybe that's the only strategy, right? I'm thinking he's thinking.
Yep, that's right. And at the end of the day, and this is never going to happen, because money and sugar coming from Uncle Sam is like crack cocaine. But what I'm getting at is, we, the electorate, have got to say, okay, stop bringing home the bacon, because you're killing me, you're ripping everything out of my pocket, and 50% of it's going to the government, and you're bringing 2% back. It's like the congressional person that jumped up and shouted, stop spending, stop spending, stop spending. When are we going to get a clue?
I couldn't agree with you more. It is unbelievable. And we have to at the individual grassroots level preach the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, who's the guy down in Texas, Chip Roy. We need to be preaching that gospel, just like we preach the gospel within our churches. And then we need to go out day by day and, you know, gently, if you're a Christian, you know how to witness. You don't say, oh, you're not a Christian. You're going to hell. What's the matter with you? That doesn't ever win anyone over to the Christian side. If you're trying to witness to someone, think of it in that sense. The way you do it is say, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And we got a Savior called Jesus. Well, you know, I know you're having a tough time. Can we go have a cup of coffee? That's the way that we're going to win the game politically, too, if we want to preach the conservative gospel. Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it, man. Good to talk to
you. You're welcome. Hey, happy Palm Sunday. Happy Easter.
Yeah, same to you. It is that week. Holy Week is upon us here coming up very soon. I wanted to play another clip before we head out here. This is a Biden campaign ad on the anniversary today, the anniversary of Obamacare. And I want to play that for you because this is what they're going to be throwing at the American people. I gave you this. I put more candy in your basket. You've got health care insurance. No, you don't have health care. You just got insurance. Take a listen.
Obamacare is a disaster.
What we'd like to do is totally kill it.
I hope that they end it.
Obamacare is a catastrophe.
It would be so good if they end it.
They're showing all of the Medicaid expansion and all of the goodies in Obamacare. Yeah. So what they do is they flash Medicaid expansion, limit on premiums, no pre-existing conditions, all of the goodies in Obamacare. You know what? It's a dysfunctional mess. It's the reason I am no longer part of the medical industrial complex. It's immoral. You have insurance card. How good is your care, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, when you finally get in to see the doctor, or if you're in a critical condition, or when something finally breaks, but you didn't want to spend the copays and the deductibles and argue about the bills and then get dismissed by the staff at many places because they're running crazy, trying to comply with all the Obamacare regulations. It was a jobs program, you know. It was a jobs program. That's what it was. It expanded the bureaucracy. It's Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and it demanded much more back office work when your doctor and your nurse are dying trying to keep up with all the paperwork and the billing and the coding and the nonsense. Just ask your doctor. Ask the nurse that puts you in the room the next time you go in. It was a disaster. But you see how they're going to sell it? They're going to sell it as a bunch of candy. It's poison candy. And we know that, and we should have known better to let them pass it. But then again, we let them get Democrat majorities. You give the Democrats a majority, they use the power, they wield it. And they have big majorities. When the Republicans with a tiny majority, you can't expect them to get much done. And we get unelectable candidates, and then look what happens. You get a few minor players who have big mouths and they're saying the rest of the world screwed up. Well, maybe they need to get out there and moderate and talk civilly and gently to people who don't agree with them 110% scorched earth. The scorched earth isn't working out very well, is it? Maybe I'm wrong. Come on. Freedom Caucus guys, call me. Let me know I'm wrong here, huh? That method of MAGA only, and there's no other way, isn't working out. We've got to preach the MAGA gospel, but moderate it to a non-MAGA audience. How are we going to do that? Give me a call. 314-912-1019. It's the Tobler Show. We'll be right back.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, we haven't been thrown off yet, huh, Jerome? That's good. I think we're off YouTube now, aren't we? Didn't someone successfully get us off there?
Yeah, unfortunately, whoever's on before us, I think, may have angered the algorithm. And so, unfortunately for any YouTube fans, which I'm not sure that we even have any, since who likes YouTube anyways, but we are temporarily down on YouTube. But Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, some amazing ways you can keep in touch with us.
There you go. And you can comment, and Jerome keeps track of those. If I try to keep track of those, my non-multitasking mind goes haywire, and you never know what's going to happen then. There was some good news. You know, it sounds like everything's doom and death and destruction, but our friend Elon Musk is really an amazing genius. The guy is, I love visionaries like that. Yeah, a little bit crazy, little bit unhinged. Those are the, you know, that line, that distinction between genius and crazy. You know, it's a fine line, fine line. Our friend Elon put the first Neuralink chip, in a guy named Nolan Arbaugh. And the guy was seen yesterday on our earlier this week playing a computer game. So he was, had his laptop. He's a quadriplegic. He had a diving accident, I think, a couple decades ago. And boy, it's really tough to watch these folks. Well, you know, remember Christopher Reeves, the Superman guy? Remember he had the equestrian accident and he was quadriplegic. And but God, these people, the resilience and the, man, the grit that they have. So anyway, they put the Neuralink chip in this guy and he was able to think. Okay, so there's a computer. You see the computer chessboard on the laptop in front of him. And he's able to move the pieces by thinking it. Like, you know, I'm going to castle on the queen side. I'm going to do, you know, rook to one up to position three or five. Queen's bishop, move it up to, you know, whatever. And I'm thinking, holy cow. And you saw the pieces move. And then yesterday evening, Elon Musk posts that he had actually, Arbaugh had made the first post, a Twitter post, by thinking it. He didn't have to blow into the little, you know, sometimes they control the cursor or whatever by blowing into a tube, you know, and so that's because they can move their head and do that. And I thought, my gosh, I mean, maybe are we on the verge of some kind of amazing, for people that have chronic neurologic diseases, maybe with cerebral palsy, I mean, folks that have a stroke, you know, and it knocks out their sight or their vision, or their hearing, or they can't move a limb. Could it be that, and there's a lot of work to be done. We're at a very primitive level right now on this, but I thought, holy cow, it's exciting. And you know, last time I checked, that wasn't a government agency that did that, Jerome. That was one man, a private individual who did that. Now, I think he probably wisely has parlayed some of his money from the government subsidies for Tesla, admittedly. But I guess Elon Musk is a perfect example of play by the rules, but play beyond them. Play for a larger strategy. And look at, this is a guy who I don't think was as, I think I would venture that Elon was at one time probably more of a liberal. And he's now turning pretty hard right. I wouldn't be surprised if he endorses Donald Trump for president. I don't know. We're going to see what happens with it. But you think, you know, here's a guy who is doing life-changing things, world-changing things, sending rockets into space. Now they're coming back. They're landing again. All you liberals out there, isn't that sort of the eco conservation? We're not throwing these things away. We're reusing them. So I find that inspirational. And I think that's the kind of work that I wish our politicians would do, would be to point out what's wrong, but then spend some time doing some really heavy lifting, making things better. I don't mean at the pancake supper on Saturday morning for a few more votes. I don't mean, you know, holding the baby and, you know, giving the baby a little kiss at the fundraiser. I'm talking about, what are you doing in your own life, in your own business? Oh, excuse me. If you're a Democrat, especially, you don't have a business. You never did do a business. You just were a politician. And you learned very effectively how to spend the people's money, tax the people, and then buy votes by redistributing it in just the right ways, in just the right precincts at the right time. And then it's on us to point out to other people how private citizens, charter schools, parochial schools, private schools, they changed the landscape in terms of education, not the public schools. The public schools used to be a wonderful institution. My dad taught in the Lindbergh School District for over, 45 years. That's when the schools taught reading, writing, arithmetic, respect for elders, respect for authority, yes, ma'am, no, sir. You start acting out, you go to the principal's office. You learned about the Constitution. You learned about the aspirational ideals of the founding of the government and how many of them were not met until after the Civil War and then the Civil Rights Movement. Check the box there. And now they're taught that the country was malformed from the beginning, congenitally wrong, to use a medical analogy, born with all kinds of birth defects that no one could ever fix until we burn it all down and reimagine it in Bernie Sanders' mind. That's not the way that it goes. If you want to return the republic, you start withdrawing from government if you can. If you're a small businessman, look at a new medical model for buying insurance for your people. There's a way to do that, to provide health care at a much lower cost and much more accessible. Talk to me about it sometime. Give me a call. That's the way we change things, not by electing Marjorie Taylor Greens and Matt Gaetz, who are making bank while they're in Congress by writing books, and they're all over the airwaves, and then they turn around and they go to, you know, the private. Oh, by the way, speaking of that model of the high and mighty elites that spend your donations, your hard-earned money, and they convince you that if you just give more to the Republican cause, give more to the RNC. Oh, yeah. Spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on lavish events, limousines for Ronna McDaniel, fancy. Oh, Ronna McDaniel. Guess what? Ronna McDaniel just joined MSNBC. You see, the current political scene is all about consultants, attorneys. God love you, you attorneys. I love my attorneys. You love your attorney individually, but as a group, I'm not so sure. I think we got too many of you guys in Congress. We need more regular people writing simple laws, one law at a time, very simple. And the law would generally be, this isn't our job in Washington, D.C. You got to go to Jeff City or Springfield. You know what I mean? That's the way it needs to be. At any rate, the current system is all about this mirage oasis for all of the elites telling us that they're going to fight for us and they're going to win the game for us, when we know that isn't true. Where's the politician that stands up and says, look, I'm not going to make promises I can't keep. I'm not going to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm just going to go up there and continue to point out the dysfunction. I'm going to try to do what I can to take the government out of your life. And that sometimes means subsidies that you may be dependent on. But trust me, if you follow me, you're gonna be happy. Well, we'll see what Adriana Kuhn thinks. She is running for Francis Howell School District Board. We'll talk with her. It's a big district, of course, in our area, and see what her thoughts are in just a few minutes on the Tobler Show. And later on, we talk about gig workers and how that whole notion of working is threatened. And in addition, we'll be talking with Gabby Hoffman from Independent Women's Forum about the EV mandate. It's a threatening new, widespread, and deeply influential rules and regulations from the EPA governing by regulations that fourth branch of bureaucracy getting in our face. All morning on the Tobler Show. Glad you're here. We'll be right back.